Now, ready to begin in the 44th chapter. And the first five verses of this 44th chapter is really a continuation of the 43rd chapter. God is simply showing His people here how that they have disobeyed. He is their God, though. He is going to forgive them. And He shows them in these first five verses how that He is going to, in the end, save and sustain them. So in the first verse of chapter 44, "Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee, fear not." Now that's what He's saying is to the people here. "Listen to me," He says. "I'm the God that created thee. I'm the one that formed thee from the womb." That is from your inception, from your very birth right on. I am the one that formed you. And I still believe that this is not just talking about their physical body, but He's talking about their nation. He's talking about the fact that they are holy people, a family of God that He has chosen to be His people. And so from the very beginning, He's formed them. He's created them. He has chosen them. And so all their laws, all their concepts, all their traditions have been given to them by God. They're the ones that had the promises. They're the ones that had the laws and all the service of the tabernacle and the temple. And so He says, "The Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee, fear not." Fear not. And if we could just have instilled into us today that same spirit of not having fear, even though we're in the very clutches of some kind of tribulation or trial or distress, still fear not. Fear not. The Lord will be with me. The Lord will protect me. The Lord will see me through. That's what He's telling these people here. "O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen." Now this word Jeshurun is a word that's found three other times in the Bible. It's found in Deuteronomy 32:15 and 33:5 and 26. And it, according to the Bible scholars, is a you might say nickname or a favorite name that God gave to His people. It's only used four times in the Bible. And it means something like, "O thou most upright," or "O thou beloved Israel." It's a very endearing term that is reserved for His people to be used. And so here He uses that term. "And thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen." Now, He shows them how that He is figuratively going to sustain them and how that He is going to be their God. "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty." And the word "him" here really means the land. "I will pour water upon the land that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring." Now, this is a promise that God gives now. And it's the reiteration of a promise that's already been given before. But the phrase, "I will pour water upon the land that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground," is one that's easily understood by all persons who know anything at all about agriculture and about growing plants. Dry ground is made an altogether different thing whenever it is coupled with water. There are places out in the desert of this country, in Arizona, New Mexico, for example, in West Texas, which the land is hard to fit to grow anything until you get water. When you get water on that land, it takes on an altogether different nature and it'll grow abundant crops. And so it is with mankind. Mankind, in the absence of God or God's Spirit, he is worthless, he is useless, he is his life is a vanity. He doesn't even know what he's here for. But you couple that same person together with the Spirit of God and with the knowledge and with the obedience that is required to be one of God's people, and he becomes a fertile, productive land. He's just like a dry ground that's had a flood poured upon it, or water that's been put upon the land that's thirsty. He says, now, that's the figure here. giving water to thirsty land. But the true application of this is, I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. The seed here are the children, those that are reproduced by God's people. And he promises, I will pour my spirit upon thy seed. You're my people, and I'm going to bless your children. I'm going to pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Now this certainly has several effects. The first of all is consoling to parents to know that as they are God's people, that their offspring, those who follow after them, whether spiritual offspring or literal offspring, will be in the position to receive the blessings of God and the Spirit of God. But it also tells them that God is going to perpetuate their religion, that they'll not completely run out and cease to exist, but they'll always be God's people. In order for the promise to be true, that I'm going to pour my spirit upon your seed, that I'm going to bless your offspring, there has to always be God's people for that to happen. And there are many promises that God has made that relates to this, but way back here in Genesis 17, God made a promise to Abraham that is really the basis for all these promises. Genesis 17, verses 7 and 8, God said to Abraham, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations." And he goes on and relates there the sign of the covenant, which would be circumcision. But that original promise that God gave to Abraham, let's talk about that for just a moment. That original promise that God gave to Abraham is the promise that we today look to for our salvation. It's the same promise. He told God, among other things, that he would make of his seed a great nation, that they'd be so numerous that it'd be like the stars in the sky or the sand on the sea. He told him he'd give him that land, which was the land of Canaan. And he told him that through his seed should all nations be blessed. And that through his seed is Christ. Christ was the seed he was talking about there. Through his seed would all nations be blessed. And certainly that's true today. All nations today are blessed through Christ. The world is a better place today because of Christianity, although the majority of the world are not Christians. All the principles that go for our good living and for the benefit of humanity are principles that are consistent with Christianity. So we today then are receiving the fulfillment of that promise given way back there to Abraham. So in verse 4 of chapter 44 of Isaiah, "And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses." Here he's figuratively talking about God's people now. They're going to spring up, he said, as among grass, as willows by the watercourses. And the picture here is an area that has had a stream of water diverted to flow through it. And as this stream flows through it, the grass along the banks of the stream grows real vigorously and green. The willows grow up there. That's where the trees are. Most places, you know, where there's a river or a creek, you can look and that's where the trees are. There's going to be trees where the water is. And you can spot a creek or a river a long ways off by just seeing where that line of trees go. The rest of the land may be barren and very sparse, but along the water course, there's where the trees are going to be. And over in Psalms, the first chapter, he gives a very beautiful picture of this relating to the man of God. I'd like to read the first three verses of Psalms, the first Psalm. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his seasons. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And he goes on in this psalm and says, the ungodly are not so. Whatever you can say about the godly, in that regard, the ungodly are not so. What did he say about the godly? He says he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which are driven, which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now if we were a tree, the most advantageous, the most beneficial place we could be would be by a river of water where our roots could get plenty of nourishment, plenty of moisture, and we could grow and prosper. Our leaves would never wither, but we would everything that we did would be prosperous. But he said that's the way it is with the godly. The godly is that way. He has a source of sustenance, of strength, of nourishment, if you please, that the world doesn't have. So that there is no place that we can be while we're godly and be starving for spiritual food. We have a source of strength, of spirituality that the world does not have. And it sustains us so that our leaf, he says, will never wither. And whatever we do will prosper. And that's quite an envious position to be in. Now, that's a position that just the average person doesn't.